You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Hey there, this is the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thanks for tuning in after the Celtics 135-108 demolition. Absolute just wrecking ball to the Indiana Pacers. We're the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by Samuel Jamison Packard the Third.
Jay.
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jay.
Big one for the Celtics tonight. So much to talk about here, so we're just going to dive right into the big thing for me in this game is that the Celtics did it without Kyrie Irving for the most part. They came out and were moving the ball. It was Jason Tatum early. It was Jaylen Brown in the second quarter. It was Marcus Morris in the third quarter. All of those guys came up big with 20-plus point games, and then Al Horford's passing on top of it all. And when you get all of those things going, Kyrie Irving just kind of took a back seat. He just kind of chilled. He only took 9 shots, only scored 12 points. And this was the biggest scoring output of the season for the Celtics. Also taking advantage of Indiana being on a back-to-back. They ran out of gas towards the end. But they came out hard, Sam. They really came out to play. And the Celtics just really took this game from them early on.
Though you took my all of my talking points. I had complete FOMO. I was there. I had to follow along based on Twitter because I was on a plane.
What's it so like following on Twitter?
It's awesome because they were winning, but like you just want to be able to see the clips. You want to be there like living in the moment. You see the funny posts and the reference. I have like my friends texting me about Yabu's wagon. I have my brother texting me about the Time Lord. It's just like, oh my God, I want to be there. But so my four takeaways were Tatum in the first quarter, Jaylen Brown in the second, Mook in the third, and Al Horford's passing. And it was like 4 for 4 were the things you brought up. So that's amazing. I wanted to ask you like how to like clearly the ball movement was there. That you look at the assist to turnover ratio. It seemed like the Celtics did a good job of limiting the Pacers on the shots on the inside. And then two, I was just curious about those kind of three stretches. How did Tatum go off? I saw he was 5 for 5. How did that kind of manifest itself? And then I was most curious about that Jaylen Brown stretch in the second quarter. So I looked, checked the score, looked up and checked the score again. And they all of a sudden went from like a 9-point lead to a 15-point lead. It looked like Jaylen Brown scored all the points.
Yeah. So in the first quarter, Tatum just kind of came out right away. He had a turnaround for the first basket, a layup in the second, and then he just another layup, a three. He just came out right away and just was like boom, 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 boom. He had, I want to say, 9 of the first 11 points and just came out right away.
One-on-one stuff, just like isolation or just like kind of within the flow of the offense?
It was all in the flow. I mean, the first thing was a fadeaway on the right block that was a little bit isolation, but the rest was kind of in the flow. And while it didn't seem like a couple of these were assisted, but he still was in the flow of the offense. So it was good. It was good Tatum in the beginning. It wasn't going too crazy and some of the isolation stuff that we were used to. I'm just looking at the box score now and Al Horford assisted on on 3 of his first 5 or 6 baskets. So he was really playing off of Horford really well. So and all of his damage really came at the beginning of the first quarter and helping the Celtics come out to a big lead.
And then second quarter, I guess I'm curious. I mean, I wish I had some sort of analysis here, but yeah, really just looking at box scores. Jaylen Brown, it seemed like he scored, what, like 8 consecutive points? I don't – and it seemed like he was – I saw Jay's tweet about being able to attack their different fours, TJ Leaf and Thad Young on him. How was Jaylen able to do that? I mean, we've talked about his aggression in attacking the basket. It's just more of the same.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was super aggressive in attacking this one. He played with a lot of really good energy tonight. I think sometimes when we see Jaylen Brown get down, you can see him kind of slowing down a little bit. And I think in this one, he came out with a focus, it seemed, on attacking and getting to the rim. So in that stretch in the second quarter, you had Brown with a couple of layups in the half court, a transition layup when Kyrie found him. From that, he got a three-pointer. And so there was a lot of really good, aggressive attacking from Jaylen Brown, and not the kind that was predictable. It was just, again, playing within the flow of the offense. The Celtics really moved the ball well. They had another 30 assists in this one. What was the actual total? It was 32 assists in this game. So a lot of those came late. I think there was a point in the third quarter where it didn't seem like the Celtics were going to break that assist mark or break that 30 assist mark. But they just kept on moving the ball. They just kept on moving themselves. They just kept on attacking. And the best part, I think, when we're looking at this is in the first quarter, it was Tatum. But they didn't force it to keep Tatum going. I know there's a feed the hot hand mentality, but he took his shots. But in the second quarter, when Jaylen Brown was going, they rode Jaylen Brown until he kept on scoring. And the best part about Jaylen Brown's game tonight, I think, it was his free throws. He got to the line 8 times, and that just goes to show you that he's
how many did he make, though?
6.
Whoa, 75% from Jaylen Brown. That's great success.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't have known that was 75% unless I looked at the thing. Your quick math, it's impressive.
Data analysis is my job. Yes. So how did they basically slow down the Pacers? Because I saw that the Pacers came out and were pretty good three-point shooting in the first quarter, but all the tweets were saying they had no inside games. Sabonis, who had a really good game against the Celtics last time they played, didn't really have his best game. Basically, what do they do to slow down the Pacers? Because it felt like, in just checking the score, there was no like real, especially after the second quarter, there was no real run from the Pacers to try to make it close again. The Celtics were pretty consistently up. It seemed like 15 for basically from mid second quarter on.
It wasn't like a thing that they did. It's not like they. I have to go back.
They didn't have a crazy box in one or crazy 2-3 zone.
I think it was just like a consistent. And say slow down the Pacers. They gave up 30 points in the second quarter. So they didn't do any particular thing to slow them down. In fact, they didn't in the second quarter. Give up 30 points in a quarter is not great. In the first quarter, the Pacers shot 47.5%. They shot 5 of 11 from 3. The thing is that the Celtics put up I'm looking at the box score and it's not giving me the right numbers. But the Celtics just were able to get up a lot more shots, and that's why they ended up scoring.
Via turnovers, via offensive rebounds. How did they get so like more shots?
They weren't forcing a lot of turnovers. Only 2 turnovers in the first quarter for the Pacers. The Pacers just missed some shots. They were 38% in the first quarter. The Celtics were 46% in the first quarter. It didn't seem like there was a lot of contesting of shots. The Celtics didn't block. They had 3 blocks in the first quarter, which is good, but I felt like in the beginning they came out, the Pacers came out and missed a couple of shots. But they were playing hard. I don't think the Celtics did any particular thing that was overly great to stop them. In the second quarter, the Pacers shot 57%. And so it just was the Celtics were better offensively. They just had shots that were falling. The Celtics hit 15 of 22 shots in the second quarter. So that's why they were able to outscore the Pacers 39-30. It's not anything that they did defensively. It's that the Celtics were just making a ton of shots. Again, it didn't feel like the Celtics were just on fire. To sit there and see that they were 15 of 22 at the game watching, I didn't think like, wow, these guys just can't miss. Even though they couldn't miss, they were getting such good looks. They didn't overly rely, it felt like, on the three-pointer. They took 6 three-pointers in the second quarter, but 22 shots overall. They got to the line 7 times in the second quarter. They were just attacking. And it must have been a stated goal by the Celtics to keep attacking, because the Pacers had played that game the night before and they had struggled to beat the Cavaliers. So they're coming in late and they were getting it was an early game and the whole timing was bad for the Pacers. So the Celtics just attacked them to death.
Was it Erotic City? Did I miss the first like full Erotic City game
really
of the season?
Missed, yeah, yeah.
God damn it!
You missed some real eroticism there. In fact, if you look at the Rain and Jays hashtag, which we'll get to later on, but the like at MattyB0814, this game is pure sex.
No, I saw that tweet. And I was it sounds like pure sex. I want the sex game.
Pride is erotic. It was Pride Night. Perfect night for the Celtics to officially enter Erotic City. This was high level of eroticism.
Has my presence been cock blocking the Celtics? Am I the problem?
Now that's an interesting concept.
I think we should explore that after a break.
Let's do that. Question being asked here is, does Jam interfere with Erotic City? You're my partner, you're my teammate, I'm not going to throw you under the bus, but yes, you're the problem.
But absolutely. Well, see, the thing is, in the past couple of games, the Celtics have clearly figured something out offense. Like, the assists are up, 30 assists galore. I think this is the fifth straight game, or fourth straight game.
Fifth.
But we determined after the net that it couldn't be full Erotic City until it came to a high quality opponent. Now, the Pacers came in with the number 2 defense in the league. And so if you score your most amount of points against the number 2 defense in the league, that's full eroticism. And so, you know what? I think just for my own behalf, I don't think it's that anything to do with me. I would even argue that I have zero impact on the game. Now, I know people out there are going to go say, Jam, that's crazy talk. We all know you have a huge impact on the game. But I'm going to say, you know what? It's the players. The players play. The shooters shoot. And it's got nothing to do with me. Because we saw, 7 guys finishing double figures? We saw that happen the other night. Mook knocked down a bunch of threes in the third quarter. That's what Mook does. Mook makes threes and make babies. Gordon Hayward came from his stats, looked like he had a solid game. What did you think of Hayward tonight? Because there's Hayward watch every night.
Yeah, I thought Hayward was solid. He didn't have the stretch that everyone else did. Like, everyone had a stretch where it was like, oh, okay, Jalen's going off. Oh, okay, now Mook is going off. Like, Mook had a third quarter that was awesome. I think for Hayward, it was just an efficient, kind of cool night. He finished with 14 points, but he barely missed. So, but he only took 7 shots. So it felt like he just kind of slowly added, oh, here's another shot. He had a couple of buckets there. He was great from the corner. His 2 threes, I think, were both corner threes, which was great. But, and 2 of those threes, I'm going to look at the third quarter stats, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, as this third quarter stats page loads, that Gordon Hayward, well, one of them came in the third quarter during that.
One in the second, one in the third quarter.
Yeah. It was Terry Rozier that had the two in a row. There was a stretch at the end of the third quarter where it was Rozier, bang, bang, Jaylen Brown, boom. And that's when the Celtics really, really took off and outscored the Pacers by 10. So, but yeah, Hayward was solid, but nothing from him like really, really stood out other than he's just seems to be shooting more confidently. And that's kind of what you want out of him. So continue. Now, you're on a roll.
Now I'm noticing that Marcus Smart only had what points, but that means he had to have done something crazy.
No.
So did I miss any key Smart moments?
No. Marcus, this
didn't even play the fourth quarter. Wow. I was looking at the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum, 2 minutes. Morris, zero. Horford, zero.
No,
Smart, zero. Kyrie, zero.
It was a 20-point lead, and the Celtics pushed it up to like 25. There was a Brad did call a timeout. It was they had let it get down. They'd let a 26 or 27 point lead down to like 20 again, and Brad called a timeout. But there was really no risk here. I think what happened in the fourth quarter, like at that point, even in the third, like you could see midway through the third that the Pacers were like, you know what, I think we're done here. The first half they were really going for it. They were really trying to fight through this back-to-back thing. And I do want to be clear that this wasn't at the beginning a case of the Celtics taking advantage of a team off the back-to-back. The Pacers, I know afterwards Nate McMillan said that they looked gassed, but not till the end. In the first half, they looked gassed. And maybe if it was a closer game, their energy would have carried through, or maybe they still would have faded. But the Celtics really stomped the life out of them in the third quarter. Once that third quarter was over, there wasn't a ton of fight left in them. But Marcus Smart was quiet. He was a very, very quiet player. They did this tonight without Kyrie Irving scoring and without Marcus Smart going nuts. I mean, he obviously played his typical good defense, but there's nothing in there. Oh, the most notable thing, I guess I should include this, that early on, Thad Young did try to post Marcus Smart up. And that
I bet that did not go well for him.
It did not. Marcus Smart straight up blocked him. Young turned around on the right block and tried to just go straight up over Marcus Smart, and Smart timed it and blocked it, shoved it right back down his throat. That was the one – it wasn't a typical Smart crazy thing, but that was the Smart thing that happened in this game. So there was one thing.
All right, I got two more questions about two more players. How the hell did Daniel Theis end up with 12 points?
He was hitting from three. He had a couple of threes. Actually, Theis didn't hit from three. I'm sorry. He was. I saw him take open threes. He had a couple of 3-point plays, is what it was.
Ooh.
Yeah. So. He was another guy who was aggressive. He took four free throws. That's how he gets to 12 points, 4 of 7. He was driving, he was attacking in closeouts. Yeah, that's Theis. It's funny. I could have sworn he made a couple of those threes, but he didn't.
This is why we have me here to ask the questions, keep you honest. But the most important question, I'm seeing right here that the Time Lord paid the entire fourth quarter.
He did.
What did I miss? My brother texted me that Time Lord is the coolest motherfucker of all time.
Yeah.
So something badass had to happen.
He did have a putback dunk, which was nice.
Ooh.
Yes, he did have a putback dunk.
Two block shots I'm seeing.
Yes. He did have a couple of block shots. The thing about the Time Lord's minutes, and here's a little behind the curtain. I had the game recap for MassLive.com. When the game is decided at that point, I'm looking down and I'm writing. So the fourth quarter is decided and I'm just kind of like keeping an eye, like I'm looking up like, okay, there was a block. Oh, okay. That was fun. But I missed actually a couple of the things down the stretch, because I was putting the recap up just so once the game was over, I could hit publish and all I had to do was fill in the score. And really during the end of the fourth quarter, when he really did his damage, I was trying to come up with my super cool lead in to all of the stuff that happened in the game.
It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times.
Stupid monkey.
Oh man. I mean, okay. It feels like I was there. I was basically learned everything that happened.
Yeah. So let's take a break. We'll come back with your tweets, Rain and Jays, Rain and Junk, and then...
Oh, you best believe I have a junk drawer, even though I didn't watch the game.
I love it. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with that. We ask you to tweet us at the games, during the games, and then you do with the Rain and Jays hashtag and the Rain and Junk hashtag. So let's get into the tweets. First thing, from Matt Beer Jam, Time Lord stepping in to replace Lucky with some high flying dunks. The little injury update: Lucky the mascot sprained his ankle, so people want the Time Lord to come in and do the high flippy dunks, or at least go out there and dunk.
I know, and many people were accusing me of celebrating Lucky's demise. I thought it was ugly out there.
No.
It's just I would never do such a thing.
Rico Dynamite at John T 4573. Tatum, 5 for 5, 11 early points. He's saying, trade me if you want, but here's what you'll be missing. Just for the sake of accuracy, he said he'd trade himself. So maybe he's sending a message to himself about what you'd be missing?
Who knows? I mean, sure. It's all weird psychology there. I don't know.
At Sagan 85, once, I'd like to see Brad Stevens ride the hot hand. Tatum was on fire in the first 6 minutes. At the same time, yeah, I get that. But at the same time, it's about the time he usually comes out of the game. You can't just keep playing him forever because he's hot. And secondly, I know this was sent in the midst of the game, and we didn't have the benefit of knowing that it was going to be a 30-point blowout. The Celtics are playing again a Thursday night in Miami. So Brad wasn't going to extend anybody's minutes for the sake of getting him a couple extra shots. It's just pull him and trust that the next guys come in are going to ride that same energy and score. At Beer Jam said, really wanted Tatum to go for 30-plus tonight. He's waiting for that breakout game. And let's see.
Hey, no one needs to get 30. I thought that Kyrie quote was like – interesting after the game. He's like, I don't need to score 30 basically until the playoffs if everyone's going to score 15. And that's like, that's Brad Stevens basketball right there.
Yeah, absolutely. At Joey Angus 11, love how Jalen and Jason are playing tonight. And with Kyrie and Al's two game always looking so good, and with Smart for the middle of it all, it's going to be Rain and Jays all night. I will say there was an unbelievable, awesome two man game that Joe's talking about here. Between Kyrie and Al. Kyrie at the top of the key, up to Al. But like, they passed back and forth, like 3-4 times. It ended up with an Al Horford layup. It was just gorgeous two-man basketball. I mean, that, I think it's on Twitter. Got to look for that one. That was amazing.
That sounds quite nice.
That was Erotic City. That was Erotic City. Rewatch the game. When you watch the game, you'll know. You'll know. Rife C, have the Celtics figured out how they're going to max Mook yet? Oh, man. I don't know what's happening with him, but it'd be great. It'd be great to have him back. I just don't know. And it hurts my feelings right now to say that he's not going back, which is such a 180 from what I was at the beginning of the season. He was awesome. 22 points. Another 20 point night for him. Broy O, with two O's. Eventually, Smart will go to the bench for Hayward. JB will be on the bench for the rest of the year. Playoffs, Mook's offense just reliable this year. Brad loves Smart on the bench, probably later rather than sooner. Also, Brad is Hans. Was that a reference to something that I missed?
Hans?
Yeah.
I don't know what Hans is.
I don't know. I don't get it. Get back to
Hans
that
and Franz, we're here to pump you up.
I don't know. That's an old reference. I'm surprised. People keep saying that eventually, and I felt like maybe eventually they'd go back to the original starting lineup, but
why change anything?
They've got the number one rated offense since they switched to this new lineup. Why get out of it? Keep going. Keep doing it. I don't see why. Maybe matchups in the playoffs, but I'd say keep rolling with it. And then they have had some defensive slippage, but that's because Aaron Baines isn't there. I really feel like they hit on something and it works, and maybe it doesn't fit what we wanted it to be at the beginning of the year, and maybe it changes in the playoffs, maybe, but I say roll with it. Let's see. I think that's going to be it for the Rain and Jays hashtag. Lots of them, but we got to keep rolling on because I got to catch an early flight to Miami. So,
jump. All right. I got some Rain and Jump. There's some pretty good tweets. I'm going to go through them quickly from Dallas Nelson. I don't always watch the Pacers that much, but why are they so whiny? Oladipo needed a pacifier tonight. A lot of complaints from the Pacers. Was it Wizards level of complaining?
No, I didn't notice that. But again, that they spent the first part of the night on the other end of the floor, and I didn't see it. I couldn't tell. People were complaining about the officials, but I didn't notice anything that was like egregious.
All right, this is one from Beer Jam. Hard D is the key to Erotic City. That's just a good old fashioned sex joke. Simon at Jovian Shadow, I want to see a Celtics player trigger Gino just by getting up and disco dancing on the sideline. Strong agree. I'm assuming Gino returned tonight.
I didn't see Gino.
No, Gino. When they're up that much,
I thought maybe at the end when they ran, but by that point I was focused on other things. But they didn't do like a 4 minutes to go Gino thing. I don't know why.
Weird. All right, this from Big Cat Cook. Time Ward gets called for a 3 second foul. Don't they know time doesn't apply to him? My brother texted me and said to watch out for this because he said Gorman came very close to saying that the time doesn't apply to the Time Lord. So that's a key thing I'll be watching out for the in the replay. But it's nice to see Gorman is almost on board with the nickname. I'm going to just quick throw to my junk drawer. I was actually going to just do a tight five about like plane travel since I've been on a plane for 9 hours. But since you have to catch a flight, I'll cut it down. We mentioned Lucky being hurt. We mentioned it was being Pride Night, which I thought was cool. The last thing of the night was there's this video that NBC Sports Boston tweeted out of Al Horford just gazing into the camera for seemingly no reason. And then Anna Horford said, someone check on Jam Packard right now, which is hilarious, but then also just like, I don't know what space of the internet and of Celtics fandom come in right now, but if Al Horford's sister is talking about my love of Al Horford's gaze online, on her birthday, no less, it's a weird time. And I saw that tweet. It's just, it made me laugh. And I just thought that was a fantastic way on a night I was having a lot of FOMO. It made me feel included in the Celtics Twitter universe. So,
you know, that that means that you have been the topic of discussion. There's no way she brings that up without having mentioned it to him.
I mean, he definitely has to follow her on Twitter. He like has his own Twitter presence. He has to see that tweet and be like, but do you think he ever like makes the connection like and see? He's me in the locker room. He's like, man, that's the kid who really likes my eyes. Because that's
I did have
him as the background of my phone for a while when he was draped in the Dominican flag, and so I don't know. It's really tough stuff, and I just I don't know if I want to hear Al Horford's opinion on it, but I'm like desperate to hear it at the same time.
One of these days, we're gonna have to ask.
I think we're going to have to make a video and I'm going to have to ask Al, do you know how much I'm in love with your eyes?
Yes. Okay. Moving on.
I mean, that's it. That's the rest of my junk drawer. Yeah. I'm going to spare everyone my observations on flying and airplane food.
We'll, we'll save that for another time. In the meantime, thanks everybody for subscribing. If you're not a subscriber, please do go sign up and get these right to your phone or whatever device as soon as they are posted. And if you are a regular subscriber, 5-star rating and a good review. Hey, by the way, we didn't talk about RJ Hunter.
Was my last thing. He's back, baby. RJ Hive.
We'll talk about RJ Hunter because I got thoughts, baby. I got thoughts. And more on RJ at some point when we have more time to talk about him. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.